Hello and welcome to the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, we speak to adopted adult Regina. She shares her experience of being adopted in the early 70s in the US. Regina describes finding out that she was adopted and her decision to keep that knowledge to herself well into her adult years. She also explores why she kept that information private and her experience of reunification in the last few years. As always, if you have a story you want to share from any perspective, then you can get in touch with us through our Twitter or Facebook pages, or you can email us at aandfpodcast@gmail.com.
My name is Regina Smith-Wick, and I am adopted. I was adopted back in 1970. About me, I am a certified life coach. I am an author. I am a motivational speaker, and I have a talk show, Facebook and YouTube talk show, and a podcast. So I like to talk. So that's what it all means. That's a little bit about myself. I am from the United States. I'm from North Carolina, originally from New York. I'm a New Yorker all day through and through. And I just think it's important to talk about this subject that I kept a secret for so many years.
When we were talking before you, before we got to meet, you mentioned that, mm-hmm. and that was kind of the one thing that sort of really stuck in my mind was this. You said, I kept this secret for 50 years. So can you tell me maybe a little bit about the start of your story, you know, if you feel mm-hmm. comfortable to tell you why you were adopted and why you kind of reached this decision to keep it secret?
Yes. My book is titled Adoption Unknown Blessing because I didn't realize that I was blessed. Because when I was younger, adoption was a taboo, especially in the African American community. It wasn't really talked about. A lot of people either didn't talk about it, or they just told a small fraction of people about it. And I just felt that it was important. The reason why I kept it a secret because I was kids I grew up around were very, very cruel, you know. And I think all kids don't really realize what they do, you know. A lot of times you're uncomfortable with yourself and you need something to make yourself feel better. So you kind of would tease other kids and try to get popular and all this stuff. And I've seen it happening with other people with other situations. And I knew if they knew this, it would really be something for them to have. Like I always say, you got the gun. I'm not going to give you the bullets too. That's right. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to let you shoot me. So I'm just going to keep this a secret. But then on top of that, it kind of messed me up because I started hiding stuff since I was 7. So when you do that, you're not really loving yourself, right? And when you do that, you're not really being your true authentic self. And you make things kind of bigger than what they are, like the fear factor, you know, fear is not big unless you make it what it is. And that's what I did. So I snowballed into a lot of things in my life. My life has really reflected that one secret. I had a lot of issues with validation issues, low self-esteem. I didn't love myself fully. I had a lot of issues that stem from me keeping that away, keeping that a secret.
So your adoptive parents, did they know, can I ask why they adopted you? I mean, that seems like a fundamental mm-hmm. question. Can you tell me a little bit about that mm-hmm. part of the story?
Yeah. My adoptive parents, my beautiful, beautiful parents, I love them so much. My dad, Hildred Smith-Wick, he had passed away in 2012. So he's been gone almost 10 years now. But my mother, Doris, they wasn't able to have children. My mother was not able to have children. And really, it was really groundbreaking at that time frame because usually you don't get too many of African-American going to adoption agencies. A lot of our families adopt within, you know, yeah. It'll be like somebody who has a child that's too young to raise and they take, you know, big mama take the child and raise yeah. it. So that was common, but to go to an adoption agency and actually going through classes, paying and doing all that stuff, lawyers involved and all that. My parents decided to take that route. They went to an agency in Westchester County, New York. And that's the reason why they'd adopted me because my mother wasn't able to have children.
Hmm. And so did you always know you were adopted?
Yeah, my mother and father told me one Saturday, I'll never forget, it was a Saturday afternoon, I was 7 years old, 1977. and Soul Train was on. I will never forget, because Soul Train was like my favorite show in the world. So they were telling me, and I'm just like looking behind them, like I'm trying to see Soul Train, like, but you know, they told me, but you know, it really didn't affect me at that moment. It's like they said, they told me they loved me, and it's like, you know, your mom and dad couldn't take care of you, you know, and they wanted you to have a good loving home. And it was great. I had no issue with it. The whole thing was not a problem. I think I made it a problem when I was scared to tell other people. But the whole part of adoption to me was not, because I felt it was like, okay, that's cool. You know, y'all took me in. I'm grateful, you know. But when I kind of kept it a secret, I think that's when I made it bigger than what it needed to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's a big, like you say, at seven, you don't necessarily understand what all that means. You know, it's, you know, the adult world can be quite complicated, but actually it didn't change how you felt about your parents necessarily. But then having them then communicate that out beyond your parents, then it makes sense that you perhaps just didn't want to share.
Right. It's kind of, you don't know what you don't know, but you're just scared to find out what it is. Like, you don't, you know, it could have been a situation I could just told people and it could have worked out. It could have worked out. Who knows? But I just saw examples of how kids act when they knew about stuff that was not understood. Kids, when kids don't understand, even adults, it's not even kids. When people don't understand or think of you different than the average person, they take it as a bad thing. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything, religion, whatever it is. If it's different, difference equals bad to humans sometimes. Because it's just they just don't understand. And like when people don't understand stuff, instead of them trying to figure out and try to understand it, they rather just act like they don't like it or just, I don't understand where that comes from. I don't get that. If you don't understand it, just like research and figure it out and make an opinion. But don't like it just because it's something that you don't believe in or something that you don't like. I never got that, but that's the way we work.
So did your parents know that you were keeping it secret?
That's a good question. I gotta think about that. I don't think so. I think that they just thought it was what it was. Like, we never really talked about it in the house. It wasn't a situation that they brought it up more. They never really brought it up again.
Right.
I asked a couple of questions here and there, but it was a close adoption. So they didn't have any information. I looked it up later on in life when I was in my 30s. I went ahead and contacted the New York State Adoption Services for them to send me the paperwork, but they didn't have anything on her. It was only for me to get after 18 years old.
Right. So that was like limited information that they were willing or able to pass on to you.
Yes, it was limited.
So that, it sounds like a quite unusual, and you know, now when we think of adoption and all the guidance or the, you know, the best practice perhaps is that it's an open conversation, it's ongoing. So it sounds like it wasn't, that wasn't your growing environment. So you talked about questions. Was it something that you returned to in your mind as a child?
Once in a blue moon, it will pop up around my birthday, maybe Christmas. I think about like my birth mother, because I always figured if she don't think about me anytime, I know she think about me on my birthday. She has to, you know, that's the day she gave birth to me. So I always thought of her that day because I knew that she thought about me on that day. I felt kind of connected to her on my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I always, every birthday, I'll think about her. Christmas, I'll think about her. And it was so funny, when the story unfolded, she was not living but 4 or 5 miles from me. Birth until I was about to graduate high school, and she ended up moving back to Virginia. This is after, and of course, this is now. I just figured this stuff out 2 years ago. But her and my sister, my brother, used to live literally less than 5 miles from me for over 10 years.
That's quite, looking back now, that must feel quite peculiar, thinking that that connection was so close.
It was real close. And I really believe that we crossed paths, because where I was drawn to, I was born in Harlem, New York, and in Manhattan. I was drawn to that place. Like I hung out there. I had friends there. I was there every weekend. I used to be on the streets of Harlem all the time. I was attracted to it, because I guess we really think about it, I just felt a connection because I knew I was born there. Mm-hmm. And I knew that my mom and my dad used to live there, you know, so I knew that it was like a connection. So I think I just draw myself to it, not intentionally, but I guess self-consciously, I draw myself to this location. I used to stay at it all the time. So I know I crossed paths with them eventually one day. I guarantee I walked past my mother one day. I had to, because I was there so much. And she was living there for a while. Then I ended up going to school. I ended up going to college in Virginia. And that's where they are from. I had no connection in Virginia. I didn't know nobody in Virginia. I didn't have no friends there. I just picked that school. And I just went. And come to find out, I was living an hour and a half from when she moved back to Virginia, was the same time I went to college. And I ended up living like an hour or so away. And my brother, after we got to know each other, and I would tell him, he said, I was on your campus all the time. But he had cousins, we have cousins and friends who was on the same campus. And he was at the same time at my school hanging out with his friends at the same exact time I was in college. It's just so weird how we was really in the same vibe, but we just didn't connect.
Yeah.
And if I saw him, I probably would have said, like, because we look similar. I don't know if I would have thought about it to go, we look alike. Like, I don't know if I would even go that deep with it, but I maybe would question it if we met and had a conversation somehow, because I'm like, we look similar.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. The whole thing was just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of those coincidences are really peculiar, aren't they? And you don't want to think of it in a sort of a superstitious sort of a spooky sort of way, but there's something there that you just can't quite grasp. It's like, what was going on? But I'm intrigued to know about this little 7-year-old who made this decision to not share. But when you sort of moved up into sort of high school and got to be, you know, a teenager and adolescent, was it just that you didn't feel able to, or did it just kind of did you continue to keep that as a secret or consciously, or was it just it just didn't come out?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I knew I was too far in. You know how you always hear stories about people who keep secrets and stuff, and you go, well, why did you do that? It don't make sense. Why don't you just say? They go, well, I was too far in. It was I did it too long. And I now understand what they mean, because it seemed like you're going to have to go back, try to explain this, all this stuff to people all these years that you're not saying anything, you know? And then I think it was easier for me to be able to tell people when I found out the information. Like, I found my birth family. I found them. Now I could talk to you and then have like, okay, I found them. This is who they are. Instead of me saying, oh, yeah, I'm adopted. Like, oh, you know, you're adopted. You don't know who your parents are and all this stuff. It's kind of like I felt better telling them when I knew my information, when I knew who they were. And they was like tangible people. That like I said, here's my dad, here's my mom, here's my, you know, so it was easier for me to explain it then. But that, I mean, that's a good question. I think it was a little bit of both. It was like when I became a teenager, you know, I will tell you this much. It really hit me when I got married. I didn't even tell my husband.
Wow.
I didn't even tell my husband. He didn't know anything about me being adopted. That's when I kind of got to a point that I said I felt that I was under this covenant of marriage and under God. And I'm walking around this house with this guy who's supposed to be he's my partner. And he doesn't even know I'm adopted. And so when we had our children, my children's first attachment is me. Yeah. They don't know that my parents are not blood related, but of course they related to them because, you know, I'm adopted. But just the lineage of your bloodline is only started with me.
It sounds like
I kind of thought about it and I finally told him.
I was going to say, because it sounds like it gets more and more complicated. You know, often people, you know, having spoken to adopted people, say that often it's a really profound moment having your own children and sort of having that biological connection for the first time or being able to observe that biological connection. So was that something you felt, or was that, it sounds like a really complicated sort of
It sounds complicated this moment, but when it was happening, it didn't seem that way to me. But as you hear it, like me talking it out, it does sound like it's a lot of intricate parts in this. But with my husband at the time, it took a lot for me to say, hey, I need to talk to you. Because I felt I went into this marriage in a lie. Hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And it's not like a lie, but yet it is a lie. You know, you can't really sugarcoat it. Like, I didn't tell him everything about me. And that's something you're supposed to do when you become husband and wife. You know, you're supposed to be able to talk about all this stuff. But I couldn't even talk to myself about it. I couldn't even tell myself about it. So how can I tell you? I couldn't even fess up for myself. And I had to get to a point that it was bigger than me. It's bigger than me now, because now we have children. It's so much more than, I want them to at least know the bloodline, you know? And that's why I went out to go find them, because I was like, I have to find them, not just for me no more. You know, and my daughter, she's my oldest. I adopted my daughter. And it's funny enough, when I met my ex-husband at the time, he was like telling me he had a daughter. And I was like, what's your daughter's name? He said, Regina. I was like, what? I said, Regina. He said, yeah, y'all got the same name. I was like, wow. I said, you know what? I think this is meant to be, because that is crazy.
Yeah.
Come to find out, her mom was not in her life at all. And, you know, she had her own issues, and that's what it was. And I felt, because I knew I was adopted, but nobody else, they didn't know. But I felt that in my heart that I needed to adopt her, because I understood what was going on here. And I wanted her to feel like she was part of the family. I didn't want her to feel like she's a stepchild and she's step this. Yeah. I want her to know that she was my child and she was in this family, full-heartedly in this family. And I went ahead and went through the process and got the lawyers, did the same shebang that my parents did for me. And I adopted my daughter. And, but she knows who her family was, you know, because they was not too far away, but she just knew. You know, she knew them. It's not like me, I didn't know them, but she knows them. But I adopted her. So I was adoptee and adopter.
Yeah. I mean, can I ask you about what it was like telling your husband? Because I can imagine you sort of saying, I need to tell you something. It's really serious. And his heart dropping and thinking, what is this woman going to tell me? What was his response to that information?
Well, I'll put it this way. I don't know how this, I can't really, and I don't know if I can even explain this, because I'm not sure how this happened. But I had a friend that kind of knew about the situation, because I'm not sure if my parents or our parents taught. I don't to this day remember. Maybe I did say something and I really cannot remember. I don't know if I mentally blocked it out, and I could have done that, because I just was not good with this topic. But for somehow she ended up telling a sister-in-law that ended up telling him anyway.
Right.
So he knew, but he didn't tell me, because he said that was my job to tell him. He was not going to tell me. So when I officially started to tell him, he let me tell him and everything. And he said, I'm going to be honest with you, I already knew. And he told me who told him.
So that's interesting, because that secret wasn't a secret then, was it?
Not everyone, but like I said, I literally could not figure out, and it got to a point I let it go, because there's no sense of going through all that.
Yeah,
it happened. It was supposed to happen, divine order. It was supposed to happen the way it did, and I let it go, because there was no sense of holding on to something that you cannot control. I was hurt about it, but yeah. I, you know, what can you do? What can you do? You can't control people. But he knew already. So when I was telling, but he wasn't hurt about it. He wasn't mad about it. He understood. He understood, because he knew that he knew me enough to know that for me to come to him and talk to him finally about it, that, you know, I finally got to that point. I was comfortable with it, and he did not like use it against me. He was really gracious with it. So I appreciate him for that.
Yeah. So how old were you when you sort of had that conversation with him?
Ooh, maybe 30. 30? No, I was a little older than that. I think it was after the boys were born. So it was probably like maybe 2004, 2005, maybe something like that.
So that's like mid-30s, isn't it? That's a long time to hold that, thinking it was a secret. Or it was, in effect, it was a secret in your head. But and then to discover that people know anyway, or some people know anyway, that, you know, how do you make sense of all of that? You know, did you make sense of it? Did it sort of, because
I was upset. I really was upset. I kind of just didn't talk to the people that was involved for a long time over it. But it kind of made me think about things in a way, you know. At first I took that route, but I had to understand, like, you can't control it. First of all, you shouldn't be ashamed of what you are.
Yeah.
Okay. You shouldn't be ashamed of what you are, because you had no control of that situation. You had nothing to do with that. You were just a baby. You had nothing to do with any of that. I needed to think about, second of all, that I was blessed and highly favored. I was blessed four times. I had four parents that loved me. I had two that made me, and two that raised me, you know, and a lot of people don't have that. So that's actually a blessing four times over. I had to realize, and I knew what happened in that situation was supposed to happen to make me get to the point that I'm at right now. I would not have been able to be this person if I didn't go through that. You know, I had to go through different stages. Like, I was angry, I was upset, but I was more upset of myself because I allowed this to happen. I made it bigger than what it is. If somebody knows they had something on you that you didn't tell nobody, they figured that that's something that you were not comfortable with. You know what I'm saying? They got the bullets in the gun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to understand that, you know, if you go around saying, you're going to have the simplest thing and keep it a secret. And if somebody knows that's something that if it's something that they could work with, they're going to use it.
Yeah.
But if you just be transparent and just talk about it and just be open with it, they can't use anything that you're not hiding. So I learned a lot from that. That experience, actually, I'm glad it did happen, because I needed that to happen, because it woke me up to the fact that I should not be upset and ashamed about who I am. I should be proud and happy that I'm here. And God saw fit for me to come through this channel a different way. I just came through a different way than the average person. But I'm actually still here, and I'm here for a purpose. I know what my purpose is now. So, I mean, everything, like I said, fell into place. Everything is good, but I just had to go through that, and that's okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's with the benefit of hindsight, you can look back now and you can kind of say, I'm here now, and I had to travel that path, but it sounds like a tough path.
Yeah, I mean, at first it was, but after a while, it was actually a benefit. It was actually a benefit.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have the strength I have now. I would not. Because I didn't love myself then, when all that was going down. I didn't love myself the way I love myself now. Mm-hmm. So I had to go through the valleys to get through the mountaintop. You know what I'm saying? You got to go through some valleys sometimes to get where you need to be.
Yeah.
And that was a valley in my life, but that was supposed to be, and I'm good with it. And it was strategically planned for me to be where I'm at, talking to you right now.
Today.
It was part of the plan.
You part mentioned of the process. You mentioned that you then have sort of, you've been reintroduced or reunified with your siblings. So can you tell me a little bit about how that came to be, that process?
Oh yeah, that was an interesting story. So I was actually talking to one of my guy friends, and he was telling me that his sister, he went on Ancestry and ended up finding a sister and he didn't ever knew about. And it was, like I said, divine order. So when he did that, it was already poking at me already to do it. When he told me that story, it was like the end of the year of 2019. And when he told me that story, I was like, you know what? I think that's divine order telling me I need to go ahead and figure this thing out. You know, so I ordered a kit right from Amazon, did the little thing, sent it in 6 weeks later, beginning of March of 2020, right before a pandemic, literally a week before a pandemic, not even a whole week, like 3 or 4 days before that first case came to the U.S. In March of 2020, I got my results back. I emailed two people. I emailed a cousin who looks similar. We have same features. I emailed her, and I emailed another cousin. come to find out that one of the cousins on my mother's side, one of the cousins on my father's side, when I emailed them and told them what my mother's name was, my cousin on my mother's side said, I know her. That's my cousin. And that's my mother's first cousin because we're second cousins. Let me call my mother and find out, you know, some information for you. So the other cousin said, well, I know you too, because I'm on your father's side. And I have to know who your father is because he's my second cousin. So let me do my research. They both did their research. And when they finally came back to, I already knew who my mother's side was. But I talked to my mother's aunt, my mother's cousin, excuse me. I talked to her on the phone and they were just flabbergasted because they didn't even know she had another child. They knew she had two kids. They didn't know a third. They knew she had a son and a daughter. They didn't know nothing about me.
So how did they know? I mean, because you mentioned before that when you went back to the agency a few years before, you'd kind of, there was very limited information. It was kind of a dead end. So how had those relatives known your mother?
Because when you do the DNA test, if people do the DNA test, you get a bunch of your relatives on there. You get a bunch of your cousins and stuff. So everybody on that list is related to you. You get thousands of people from like first to the fifth cousins, like thousands of people. I reached out to the two ones that was mostly active on that site. And the ones that have pictures that I could tell, like, oh yeah, we look alike and we're close cousins. We're second cousins. So I know that means our parents are first cousins. So I know that they knew who my parents were. So when I didn't see my father, though, I didn't have no information on him. I didn't have only thing that he was 22 years old. No, excuse me. He was 21 years old and he was tall. That's all it said on his side.
Right.
But on my mother's side, she had a little statement. She wrote a little thing up, you know, where she was from. Like, I had a little information on my mother. She wrote a little bit, but my father had nothing. I wasn't expecting to even find him at all. I wasn't even focused on finding him. I was just wanted to find my mother and I was going to ask her who my father was and go from there. That was the plan in my head. But when I found who my mother was, come to find out that she passed away. And they told me, they're like, well, you know, she passed away in 2007. So that really hurt me because I got so close. But I had to understand it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant for me to meet her now. I'll meet her later on when it's my time to go. I will meet her there. It was not meant for me to meet her on this earth. I had to come to grips with that. But I do have a sister and brother. I have tons of cousins, aunts and uncles that, you know, and nephews and nieces that talk about her, and they give me, you know, I got a lot of insight on her. They said I look like her. They said I sound like her. They said I got her personality. My sister said, you're just like mom. You're just like her. And she's like, it's feel like I got a piece of mom back when you came. My niece and the nephews are like, I feel like grandma's back because you act just like her. So it's funny that you could act like and have mannerisms and look like someone you never met before. It's really weird. But I was able to live through them with her. But then my dad is alive and kicking. I just talked to him a couple minutes ago before I talked to you. he lives in Atlanta in Georgia. And I talked to him the next morning after I found out who he was. And we've been talking ever since. And that's my dad. Yeah, so it's bittersweet. I wish I was able to meet her, but I understand, you know, things happen. But I'm glad that I'll at least be able to meet I was able to have a relationship with my dad, the one who I was expecting not to even find. Yeah. I wasn't worried about him, and I ended up finding him. We end up having a great relationship now.
And is that an unusual experience? Because obviously there's such a big family, and you know, and sounds like quite a close family. How has it been, sort of joining them? Has it been easy? Has there been moments, complicated moments?
I would tell you this. I would say to people, you know how you watch the shows, those adoption shows on TV?
Yeah.
And they meet the family and they meet their parents and brothers and sisters, and then they be hugging. Then you see the credits come down the screen and the TV show goes off and you feel like, it's over. They met them. No, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Because it's not bad. It's just you got to learn people. It's weird because I go, hey, how you doing? I'm your daughter. I'm your father. That's weird.
Yeah.
Like when you meet someone that you're supposed to think you'll know all your life, you meet him for the first time as your father. He's the one that gave you life. And I never, this is my first time ever meeting this man. So that's weird right there. And then you got to learn their personalities. Hmm. And then when you already have been raised by a father who did an excellent job, Hildred did an excellent job raising me. You got to understand these men are two different men.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like my dad who raised me and my dad who gave me birth, gave me life, they're two different men and they father differently and they think differently. And when you're so accustomed to one type of father all your life and then you come like, hey, I'm your dad, you know, and then you kind of grip right onto him, but you got to realize he's not the same person as you was raised. And you have to accept him who he is, you know, and he had to accept me who I am. You know, he has other children too. I have five other brothers and sisters with him. We all different. I'm different than the rest of them. They different than me. We all different from each other. I have to learn five personalities on that side, six, because my dad. Then on my mom's side, I got a brother and sister. And then, you know, they have kids and nephews and all that. Our niche is a little smaller on that side, you know. But you have to learn all these new personalities. And these people who are your sisters and brothers, you got to learn them. And I thought about it on my end, but I said, well, let me think about it on their end. They went all their lives thinking what they were thinking, and all of a sudden I plopped in their lives overnight. Like literally, like one day they were going to work and coming home, and the next day they have another sister. And they like call them like, oh, hey, my name's so-and-so, I'm your sister. It was a lot for them to take in because they never knew, well, my father's side, the siblings said he knew about me because he used to tell them that he's like, you know, I'm the oldest. So he was like, you have an older sister out there.
Yeah.
I know. I always count her. I always say when people ask me how many kids I have, I always say five. And it was like, where's the fifth one? It's like, well, she was adopted, but she's still my child. But on my mother's side, they didn't know nothing, nothing. They didn't know anything. So it was just like, what? You know, like, so it's just one of those things. It was very complicated, but beautiful, but scary, but amazing. Like, it's not one feeling. It's a lot of feelings, overwhelming, because a matter of one phone call I made that day in March, I literally was on the phone for about 6-7 hours with different cousins and people calling me, and I'm calling them, and they couldn't believe it, and they screaming, and I'm screaming, and It was beautiful, but it was a lot of overwhelming-ish, if you want to call it.
Yeah, and I guess for them, it's, you know, as a community, they've got one person joining, but you've got lots of people.
Right.
So it's...
Yes.
You've got a lot more work to do because you've got, you know, you'll be working out which sisters don't like, you know, fall out, which all that kind of normal family stuff. And can I ask then about your adopted parents then? Because obviously, you know, you mentioned at the beginning that maybe really private individuals who just, you know, they sound like they did a great job, you know, and a good bond. How have they felt or responded, or do they talk about, you know, your birth family? How have they felt about that?
My dad did not, and he passed away, like I said, in 2012. He did not talk about it too much. They kind of told me and kind of left it for me to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. They didn't want to put too much on it. But my mother did ask me to, you know, she's like, you may want to find your family. She always said that. She was very encouraging about that. I mean, you know, finding my birth family. She never had an issue about me doing it. Never felt like, you know, intimidated by it or nothing. She was always, so when I did it, she was glad I finally did it. She was like, what took you so long? Because I had to be good with me first, you know, before I did that. But they were great with it. They had no issues with it. My family who I was raised with, they was beautiful with it. They never had no issues with it. They didn't bring it up. Like we all, because I'm not the only one in my family. There's about seven of us that's been adopted inside of my family. I'm the oldest one, but there's others. So it's normal in my family, you know, and we don't go around talking about it. We just know about it, but we just live our lives. Like it's not like a serious matter in my family at all. They was beautiful with it. I think they did a great job. They didn't really hide it from me, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. But they were open to it when it was ready for me. When I was ready, they was open with it. So they kind of kept it open. I like how they did it.
Yeah. So now we find you kind of as a woman who's kind of got all these different experiences, different strands. So what is the future? Mm-hmm. You've written a book. You kind of, you do all kinds of speaking and podcasts and motivational speaking. What is the future for you? I mean, are you sort of immersed in the world of adoption? Are you, what do you think about adoption?
I actually am. I really, when I found my voice in this adoption thing, I felt like it's not just me that feels this way. And like I said, I actually have 7-8 people in my own family has been that I never talked to about. Like we have never talked about it in amongst ourselves or how we feel about finding our birth families or how we feel about it. How like I think it's time for us to talk about it in my own family, just to kind of say, you know, hey, let's just have a conversation about this. How you feel about my book? You know, is it something that you wanted to do or not do? Or we never even talked about it amongst each other. So that's something that I think we need to do soon. But I think that when I found my voice, it kind of clicked that my purpose is to be here and talk about this and be on these platforms so I can have other adopters. Because I had so many people that reached out to me to tell me they never told nobody that they was adopted. They never told nobody that their dad is not really their dad. They knew their dad was somebody else, but they never told nobody about it. Like, it seemed like since I came out and talked about all of this, it made it comfortable for others to feel like, okay, I could talk about it too. And they trust me enough to call me and tell me these things or inbox me. People that I didn't even think that was even adopted, you know, like I didn't even think about it. And then they like emailed me like, oh, you know, I was adopted too. I'm like, what? You too? Like, yeah. And then it made them more comfortable. So I felt that my job is being done by just me being transparent and open about it and having them feel like they could talk to me about it. And they asked me to help them like with the process. Like, well, how did you do it? Where do you go to do it? What happened when you met them? What do you do? And, you know, and I've been helping them on that. And I was like, you know, I can't give you no promises because everybody's different. I can't give you no promises. I think my calling is talk to adopted children and let them feel like they are enough and don't let them feel they less than. And if you want to find your birth parents, you have the living right to do so. I think sometimes the adopted parent gets kind of scared with that. Some of them are comfortable with it, but some of them are not. And I think they think that you're going to go find this new family and leave them behind. And it's not that. We're just adding. We're not subtracting here. But if you are a parent who came from you know where you came from, I think your child needs that same given birthright, just like you have. You had a right to know where you came from. I think your child should know where they came from, too. That's just a living right. It's not anything to do about your parenting skills or they don't think you good enough or, you know, it's nothing to do with that. It's just that as an adopted child, you have a void. Yeah. It's just there. It's there because we know that we don't know our mannerisms. We don't know who we look like. We don't know who we sound like. We don't know. We want to know that. And we need to be able to have that open communications with you to be able to be comfortable enough to come talk to you and tell you like, hey, I want to know where I came from.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, me doing this is helping other people talk about it. And I'm happy with it. I'm happy with that process.
Because in a lot of the states in the U.S., there's sealed records, so people cannot get that. They don't have that right to access. And so... there's a lot of people are trying to repeal the seal, I think is the hashtag, isn't it? So,
yes.
And it feels, looking from a country where we kind of have opened records, I mean, we're not perfect.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We've got lots of other things that we need to fix, certainly. But
but that's amazing, though, for the adoption world. That's amazing.
Yeah. And so have you connected with other adopters who are sort of looking to try and change things in the system and kind of support other adopted people?
I met Joy. She was on my show. We had a show about adoption and she was on my show and actually she helped out the legislation of New Jersey. She was part of that part of getting them records open in New Jersey. Wow. And they just got that taken care of last year. So when I met her and heard her story and how she was a good part of that legislation when they went and got that taken care of, you know. So there's a lot of us out there that's fighting for rights. Like, for example, this Saturday, I have a book signing. We don't know because this weather's about to be bad, but I have a book signing at Wendy's restaurant. I don't know if you know about Wendy's. Have a Wendy's there, do you?
No, we don't have Wendy's. No.
Y'all have a Wendy's. Okay, well, Wendy's is a fast food restaurant here in the U.S. Dave Thomas is the owner of Wendy's, and he's an adopted child.
All right.
So he has a foundation called the Dave Thomas Foundation, and he fights for and for the rights for foster children as well as adopted children, and he raises money for those causes. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have my book signed at Wendy's at the fast food restaurant because that's what he stands for. And he is an adopted child. And I wanted to raise money because they have like a little foundation thing at the store. You buy like this little card for $2 and you get all the free Sundays you want. Or not Sundays, what do you call those things? Frosties. So I wanted to have that and be able to help them out on that because we both adopted children. So I want to raise money for that's the foundation that I really want to work with is the Dave Thomas Foundation. They'd be able to help raise money for that cause because we need that support. Hmm. We need that support. I think now, it's like you said, now adoption is a whole, it's different now than it was when I was adopted. It's more open. The birth parents on what is still sometimes part of the family. They send them information. They kind of still part of the family. It wasn't like that when you have closed adoptions, you know, and those, you know, you had to go through a lot of red tape to find out. The DNA saved me because when I was thinking about doing it back in the early 2000s, it was about almost $3,000 to $4,000 to hire someone to find your family. It was a lot of money. And these people had TV shows in the U.S. There was a couple of people that had actually TV shows. And I reached out to them, and they did it, but they charged a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, Regina, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. And what we'll do is we'll put all the details, how to get in touch with you on my show notes. But is there a website or is there a Facebook page people can get in touch with you or maybe see the work that you're doing?
Yeah, sure. You could go to my... Adoption, the Unknown Blessing. I have a Facebook page and I have an IG page under the same Adoption, the Unknown Blessing. And as well as I have my website is www.smithwicksolutions.com. And then you can find all my information on there as well.
Well, that's fantastic. And I'm sure some people will be really interested to find out what you're doing and find out a bit more about you. So, thank you so much, Regina, and I wish you well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me.